Welcome to The Mildly Interesting with Oliver Wilson, the official bedtime podcast of former insomniacs. Tomorrow is Friday, November 19th, World Toilet Day. World Toilet Day aims to raise awareness of sanitation issues around the world. One in three people across the globe does not have regular access to a toilet. Unclean and unsafe toilets contribute to the spread of diseases like cholera, typhoid, and hepatitis. World toilets generally remain inadequate for populations with special needs, such as the disabled and elderly. Toilets are an unspoken but necessary part of the sanitation process, but have you ever wondered about their history? Well, I have. And I think you might just find it mildly interesting. Subscribe to The Mildly Interesting on Apple Podcast, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are available. We'll be right back. A toilet is a piece of sanitary hardware that collects human urine and feces, and sometimes toilet paper, usually for disposal. Flush toilets use water, while dry or non-flush toilets do not. They can be designed for a sitting position popular in Europe and North America with a toilet seat, with additional considerations for those with disabilities, or for a squatting posture more popular in Asia. In urban areas, flush toilets are usually connected to a sewer system that leads to septic tanks in isolated areas. The waste is known as blackwater, and the combined effluent including other sources is sewage. Dry toilets are connected to a pit, removable container, composting chamber, or other storage and treatment device, including urine diversion with a urine diverting toilet. The technology used for modern toilets varies. Toilets are commonly made of ceramic, porcelain, concrete, plastic, or wood. Newer toilet technologies include dual flushing, low flushing, toilet seat warming, self-cleaning, female urinals, and waterless urinals. Japan is known for its toilet technology. Airplane toilets are specially designed to operate in the air. The need to maintain anal hygiene post-defecation is universally recognized, and toilet paper, often held by a toilet roll holder, which may also be used to wipe the vulva after urination, is widely used, as well as bidets. In private homes, depending on the region and style, the toilet may exist in the same bathroom as the sink, bath, and shower. Another option is to have one room for body washing, also called bathroom, and a separate one for the toilet and handwashing sink, toilet room. Public toilets, restrooms consist of one or more toilets, and commonly single urinals or trough urinals, which are available for use by the general public. Products like urinal blocks and toilet blocks help maintain the smell and cleanliness of toilets. Toilet seat covers are sometimes used. Portable toilets, frequently chemical porta-johns, may be brought in for large and temporary gatherings. Historically, sanitation has been a concern from the earliest stages of human settlements. However, many poor households in developing countries use very basic, and often unhygienic, toilets, and nearly 1 billion people have no access to a toilet at all. They must openly defecate and urinate. Or else they must resort to a flying toilet, a plastic bag. These issues can lead to the spread of diseases transmitted via the fecal-oral route or the transmission of waterborne diseases such as cholera and diarrhea. Therefore, The United Nations Sustainable Development Goal 6 wants to achieve access to adequate and equitable sanitation and hygiene for all and end open defecation. The number of different types of toilets used worldwide is large, but can be grouped by having water, which seals in odor, or not, which usually relates to, for example, flush toilet versus dry toilet being used in a sitting or squatting position, sitting toilet versus squat toilet being located in the private household or public toilet room versus public toilet. Toilets can be designed to be used either in a sitting or in a squatting posture. Each type has its benefits. The sitting toilet, however, is essential for those who are movement impaired. Sitting toilets are often referred to as Western-style toilets. Sitting toilets are more convenient than squat toilets for people with disabilities and the elderly. People use different toilet types based on the country that they are in. In developing countries, access to toilets is also related to people's socioeconomic status. Poor people in low-income countries often have no toilets at all and resort to open defecation instead. This is part of the sanitation crisis to which international initiatives, such as World Toilet Day, draw attention. A typical flush toilet is a ceramic bowl, pan, connected on the upside to a cistern, tank, that enables rapid filling with water, and on the downside to a drain pipe that removes the effluent. When a toilet is flushed, the sewage should flow into a septic tank or a system connected to a sewage treatment plant. However, in many developing countries, this treatment step does not take place. The water in the toilet bowl is connected to a pipe shaped like an upside-down U. One side of the U channel is arranged as a siphon tube longer than the water in the bowl is high. The siphon tube connects to the drain. The bottom of the drain pipe limits the height of the water in the bowl before it flows down the drain. The water in the bowl acts as a barrier to sewer gas entering the building. Sewer gas escapes through a vent pipe attached to the sewer line. The amount of water used by conventional flush toilets usually makes up a significant portion of personal daily water usage. However, modern low flush toilet designs allow the use of much less water per flush. Dual flush toilets allow the user to select between a flush for urine or feces, saving a significant amount of water over conventional units. The flush handle on these toilets is pushed up for one kind of flush and down for the other. Another design is to have two buttons, one for urination and the other for defecation. In some places, users are encouraged not to flush after urination. Flushing toilets can be plumbed to use grey water, previously used for washing dishes, laundry, and bathing, rather than potable water, drinking water. Some modern toilets pressurize the water in the tank, which initiates flushing action with less water usage. Another variant is the poor flush toilet. This type of flush toilet has no cistern, but is flushed manually with a few liters of a small bucket. The flushing can use as little as 2 to 3 liters, 0.44 to 0.66 mg/gal, 0.53 to 0.79 US/gal. This type of toilet is common in many Asian countries. The toilet can be connected to one or two pits, in which case it is called a poor flush pit latrine or a twin pit poor flush to pit latrine. It can also be connected to a septic tank. Flush toilets on ships are typically flushed with seawater. Twin pit latrines use two pits used alternatively when one pit gets full over a few months or years. The pits are of an adequate size to accommodate a volume of waste generated over 1 or 2 years. This allows the contents of the full pit enough time to transform into a partially sanitized, soil-like material that can be manually excavated. There is a risk of groundwater pollution when pits are located in areas with a high or variable water table, and/or fissures or cracks in the bedrock. A vacuum toilet is a flush toilet that is connected to a vacuum sewer system and removes waste by suction. They may use very little water, less than a quarter of a liter per flush, or none, as in waterless urinals. Some flush with a colored disinfectant solution rather than with water. They may be used to separate black water and gray water and process them separately. For instance, the fairly dry black water can be used for biogas production, or in a composting toilet. Passenger train toilets, aircraft lavatories, bus toilets, and ships with plumbing often use vacuum toilets. The lower water usage saves weight and avoids water slopping out of the toilet bowl in motion. Aboard vehicles, a portable collection chamber is used. If it is filled by positive pressure from an intermediate vacuum chamber, it need not be kept under vacuum. A floating toilet is essentially a toilet on a platform built above or floating on the water. Instead of excreta going into the ground, they are collected in a tank or barrel. To reduce the number of excreta that need to be hauled to shore, many use urine diversion. The floating toilet was developed for residents without quick access to land or connection to a sewer system. It is also used in areas subjected to prolonged flooding. The need for this type of toilet is high in areas like Cambodia. A dry toilet, or non-flush toilet, no flush toilet, or toilet without a flush, is a toilet that operates without flush water, unlike a flush toilet. The dry toilet may have a raised pedestal on which the user can sit or a squat pan over which the user squats in the case of a squat toilet. In both cases, the excreta, both urine and feces, falls through a drop hole. The urine and feces can either become mixed at the point of dropping or stay separated, which is called urine diversion. Dry toilets do not produce sewage. Many types of toilets without a water seal, also called dry toilets or non-flush toilets, exist. These types of toilets do not use water as an odor seal or to move excreta along. For example, from simple to more complex, a bucket toilet, honey bucket, a tree bog or arbaloo, two simple systems for converting excrement to direct fertilizer for trees, a pit latrine, a deep hole in the ground, but not those that operate on a pore flush basis, a vault toilet, which keeps all the waste underground until it is pumped out, a container-based toilet, a composting toilet, which mixes excreta with carbon-rich materials for faster decomposition, a urine-diverting dry toilet, which keeps urine separate from feces, and incinerating and freezing toilets. A pit latrine, also known as a pit toilet, is a type of toilet that collects human feces in a hole in the ground. Urine and feces enter the pit through a drop hole in the floor, which might be connected to a toilet seat or squatting pan for user comfort. Pit latrines can be built to function without water, dry toilet, or they can have a water seal, pore flush pit latrine. When properly built and maintained, pit latrines can decrease the spread of disease by reducing the number of human feces in the environment from open defecation. This decreases the transfer of pathogens between feces and food by flies. These pathogens are major causes of infectious diarrhea and intestinal worm infections. Infectious diarrhea resulted in about 700,000 deaths in children under 5 years old in 2011, and 150 million lost school days. Pit latrines are a low-cost method of separating feces from people. A vault toilet is a non-flush toilet with a sealed container, or vault, buried in the ground to receive the excreta, all of which is contained underground until it is removed by pumping. A vault toilet is distinguished from a pit latrine because the waste accumulates in the vault instead of seeping into the underlying soil. A urine-diverting dry toilet, UDDT, is a type of dry toilet with urine diversion that can be used to provide safe, affordable sanitation in a variety of contexts worldwide. The separate collection of feces and urine without any flush water has many advantages, such as odor-free operation and pathogen reduction by drying. While dried feces and urine harvested from UDDTs can be and routinely are used in agriculture, respectively, as a soil amendment and nutrient-rich fertilizer, this practice being known as reuse of excreta in agriculture, many UDDTs installations do not apply any sort of recovery scheme. The UDDT is an example of a technology that can be used to achieve a sustainable sanitation system. This dry excreta management system, or dry sanitation system, is an alternative to pit latrines and flush toilets, especially where water is scarce. A connection to a sewer system and centralized wastewater treatment plant is not feasible or desired. Fertilizer and soil conditioner are needed for agriculture, or groundwater pollution should be minimized. A portable or mobile toilet, colloquial terms, portaloo, portajohn, or portapotty, is any type of toilet that can be moved around, some by one person, some by mechanical equipment such as a truck and crane. Most types do not require any pre-existing services or infrastructure, such as sewerage, but are completely self-contained. The portable toilet is used in a variety of situations, for example in urban slums of developing countries at festivals, for camping, on boats, on construction sites, film locations, and large outdoor gatherings where there are no other facilities. Most portable toilets are unisex, single units with privacy ensured by a simple lock on the door. Some portable toilets are small molded plastic or fiberglass portable rooms with a lockable door and a receptacle to catch the human excreta in a container. A chemical toilet collects human excreta in a holding tank and uses chemicals to minimize odors. They do not require a connection to a water supply and are used in a variety of situations. These toilets are usually, but not always, self-contained and movable. A chemical toilet is structured around a relatively small tank, which needs to be emptied frequently. It is not connected to a hole in the ground, like a pit latrine, nor a septic tank, nor is it plumbed into a municipal system leading to a sewage treatment plant. When the tank is emptied, the contents are usually pumped into a sanitary sewer or directly to a treatment plant. The portable toilets used on construction sites and at large gatherings, such as music festivals, are well-known types of chemical toilets. As they are usually used for short periods and because of their high prices, they are mostly rented rather than bought, often including servicing and cleaning. A simpler type of chemical toilet may be used in travel trailers, caravans, and on small boats. The pig toilet, which consists of a toilet linked to a pigsty by a chute, is still in use to a limited extent. It was common in rural China, and was known in Japan, Korea, and India. The fishpond toilet depends on the same principle, of livestock, often carp, eating human excreta directly. When we return, flying toilets. A flying toilet is a facetious name for a plastic bag that is used as a simple collection device for human feces when there is a lack of proper toilets and people are forced to practice open defecation. The filled and tied plastic bags are then discarded in ditches or on the roadside. Associated especially with slums, they are called flying toilets because when you have filled them, you throw them as far away as you can. A squat toilet, or squatting toilet, is a toilet used for squatting, rather than sitting. This means that the defecation posture used is to place one foot on each side of the toilet drain or hole and to squat over it. There are several types of squat toilets, but they all consist essentially of a toilet pan or bowl at floor level. Such a toilet pan is also called a squatting pan. A squat toilet may use a water seal and therefore be a flush toilet, or it can be without a water seal and therefore be a dry toilet. The term squat refers only to the expected defecation posture and not any other aspects of toilet technology, such as whether it is water flushed or not. Squat toilets are used all over the world, but are particularly common in many Asian and African countries, and are common in most Muslim countries. In many of those countries, ale cleansing with water is also the cultural norm and easier to perform than with toilets used in a sitting position. They are also occasionally found in some European and South American countries. There are cultural differences in socially accepted and preferred voiding positions for urination around the world. In the Middle East and Asia, the squatting position is more prevalent, while in the Western world the standing and sitting positions are more common. In the Western world, the most common method of cleaning the anal area after defecation is toilet paper or sometimes by using a bidet. In many Muslim countries, the facilities are designed to enable people to follow Islamic toilet etiquette Qaida al-Hajar. For example, a bidet shower may be plumbed in. The left hand is used for cleansing, for which reason that hand is considered impolite or polluted in many Asian countries. There are toilets on the market where the seats have integrated spray mechanisms for anal and genital water sprays. This can be useful for the elderly or people with disabilities. An accessible toilet is designed to accommodate people with physical disabilities, such as age-related limited mobility or inability to walk due to impairments. Additional measures to add toilet accessibility are providing more space and grab bars to ease transfer to and from the toilet seat, including enough room for a caregiver if necessary. A public toilet is a room or small building with toilets, or urinals, and sinks for use by the general public. The facilities are available to customers, travelers, employees of a business, school pupils, and prisoners and are commonly separated into male and female toilets, although some are unisex, especially for small or single-occupancy public toilets. Increasingly, public toilets are accessible to people with disabilities. Depending on the culture, there may be varying degrees of separation between men and women and different levels of privacy. Typically, the entire room, or a stall or cubicle containing a toilet, is lockable. Urinals, if present in a men's toilet, is typically mounted on a wall with or without a divider between them. Local authorities or commercial businesses may provide public toilet facilities. Some are unattended while others are staffed by an attendant. In many cultures, it is customary to tip the attendant, especially if they provide a specific service, such as might be the case at upscale nightclubs or restaurants. To this day, 1 billion people in developing countries have no toilets in their homes and are resorting to open defecation instead. Therefore, it is one of the targets of Sustainable Development Goal 6 to provide toilets, sanitation services, to everyone by 2030. Toilets are one important element of a sanitation system, although other elements are also needed: transport, treatment, disposal, or reuse. Diseases, including cholera, which still affects some 3 million people each year, can be largely prevented when effective sanitation and water treatment prevents fecal matter from contaminating waterways, groundwater, and drinking water supplies. The 4th millennium BCE would witness the invention of clay pipes, sewers, and toilets in Mesopotamia, with the city of Uruk today exhibiting the earliest known internal pit toilet, from circa 3200 BCE. The Neolithic village of Skara Brae contains examples, circa 3000 BCE, of internal small rooms over a communal drain, rather than the pit. The Indus Valley civilization in northwestern India and Pakistan was home to the world's first known urban sanitation systems. In Mohenjo-Daro, circa 2800 BCE, toilets were built into the outer walls of homes. These toilets had vertical chutes, via which waste was disposed of into cesspits or street drains. Another typical example is the Indus city of Lothal, circa 2350 BCE. In Lothal, all houses had their private toilet, which was connected to a covered sewer network constructed of brickwork held together with a gypsum-based mortar that emptied either into the surrounding water bodies or into cesspits, the latter of which were regularly emptied and cleaned. The Indus Valley civilization also had water cleaning toilets that used flowing water in each house that was linked with drains covered with burnt clay bricks. The flowing water removed the human waste. The Indus Valley civilization had a network of sewers built under grid pattern streets. Other very early toilets that used flowing water to remove the waste are found at Skara Brae in Orkney, Scotland, which was occupied from about 3100 BC until 2500 BC. Some of the houses there have a drain running directly beneath them, and some of these had a cubicle over the drain. Around the 18th century BC, toilets started to appear in Minoan Crete, Pharaonic Egypt, and ancient Persia. In 2012, archaeologists found what is believed to be Southeast Asia's earliest latrine during the excavation of a Neolithic village in the Rach Nui archaeological site, southern Vietnam. The toilet, dating back to 1500 BC, yielded important clues about early Southeast Asian society. More than 30 coprolites, containing fish and shattered animal bones, provided information on the diet of humans and dogs, and on the types of parasites each had to contend with. In Roman civilization, latrines using flowing water were sometimes part of public bathhouses. Roman latrines, like the ones pictured here, are commonly thought to have been used in the sitting position. The Roman toilets were probably elevated to raise them above open sewers, which were periodically flushed with flowing water, rather than elevated for sitting. Romans and Greeks also used chamber pots, which they brought to meals and drinking sessions. Johann J. Matelier said, "Plinius has described how there were large receptacles in the streets of cities such as Rome and Pompeii into which chamber pots of urine were emptied. The urine was then collected by fullers. Fulling was a vital step in textile manufacture. The Han Dynasty in China 2000 years ago used pig toilets. Garderobes were toilets used in post-classical history, most commonly found in upper-class dwellings. Essentially, they were flat pieces of wood or stone spanning from one wall to the other, with one or more holes to sit on. These were above chutes or pipes that discharged outside the castle or manor house. Garderobes would be placed in areas away from bedrooms to shun the smell and also near kitchens or fireplaces to keep the enclosure warm. The other main way of handling toilet needs was the chamber pot, a receptacle, usually of ceramic or metal, into which one would excrete waste. This method was used for hundreds of years. Shapes, sizes, and decorative variations changed throughout the centuries. Chamber pots were in common use in Europe from ancient times, even being taken to the Middle East by medieval pilgrims. By the early modern era, chamber pots were frequently made of china or copper and could include elaborate decoration. They were emptied into the gutter of the street nearest to the home. In pre-modern Denmark, people generally defecated on farmland or other places where human waste could be collected as fertilizer. The Old Norse language had several terms for referring to outhouses, including garthus, yard house, nathnathahus, house of rest, and anathus, the other house. In general, toilets were functionally non-existent in rural Denmark until the 18th century. By the 16th century, cesspits and cesspools were increasingly dug into the ground near houses in Europe as a means of collecting waste, as urban populations grew and street gutters became blocked with the larger volume of human waste. Rain was no longer sufficient to wash away waste from the gutters. A pipe connected the latrine to the cesspool, and sometimes a small amount of water washed waste through. Cesspools were cleaned out by tradesmen, known in English as gong farmers, who pumped out liquid waste, then shoveled out the solid waste and collected it during the night. This solid waste, euphemistically known as night soil, was sold as fertilizer for agricultural production, similarly to the closing-the-loop approach of ecological sanitation. The garderobe was replaced by the privy midden and pail closet in early industrial Europe. In the early 19th century, public officials and public hygiene experts studied and debated sanitation for several decades. The construction of an underground network of pipes to carry away solid and liquid waste was only begun in the mid-19th century, gradually replacing the cesspool system, although cesspools were still in use in some parts of Paris into the 20th century. Even London, at that time the world's largest city, did not require indoor toilets in its building codes until after the First World War. The water closet, with its origins in Tudor times, started to assume its currently known form, with an overhead cistern, S-bends, soil pipes, and valves around 1770. This was the work of Alexander Cumming and Joseph Brammer. Water closets only started to be moved from outside to the inside of the home around 1850. The integral water closet started to be built into middle-class homes in the 1860s and 1870s, firstly on the principal bedroom floor and in larger houses in the maid's accommodation, and by 1900 a further one in the hallway. A toilet would also be placed outside the back door of the kitchen for use by gardeners and other outside staff such as those working with the horses. The speed of introduction was varied so that in 1906 the predominantly working-class town of Rochdale had 750 water closets for a population of 10,000. The working-class home had transitioned from the rural cottage to the urban back-to-back terraces with external rows of privies, to the through-terraced houses of 1880 with their sculleries and individual external dubsea. It was the Tudor Walters Report of 1918 that recommended that semi-skilled workers should be housed in suburban cottages with kitchens and internal dubsea. As recommended floor standards waxed and waned in the building standards and codes, the bathroom with a water closet, and later the low-level suite, became more prominent in the home. Before the introduction of indoor toilets, It was common to use the chamber pot under one's bed at night and then to dispose of its contents in the morning. During the Victorian era, British housemaids collected all of the household's chamber pots and carried them to a room known as the housemaid's cupboard. This room contained a slop sink, made of wood with a lead lining to prevent chipping china chamber pots, for washing the bedroom ware or chamber utensils. Once running water and flush toilets were plumbed into British houses, servants were sometimes given their lavatory downstairs, separate from the family lavatory. The practice of emptying one's chamber pot, known as slopping out, continued in British prisons until as recently as 2014, and was still in use in 85 cells in the Republic of Ireland in July 2017. With rare exceptions, chamber pots are no longer used. Modern related implements are bedpans and commodes, used in hospitals and the homes of invalids. Long-established sanitary ware manufacturers in the United Kingdom include Adamses, founded in Newcastle upon Tyne in 1880, by M.J. and S.H. Adams, and Twyford's, founded in Hanley, Stoke-on-Trent in 1849, by Thomas Twyford and his son Thomas William Twyford. Before the widespread adoption of the flush toilet, there were inventors, scientists, and public health officials who supported the use of dry earth closets, nowadays known either as dry toilets or composting toilets. Although a precursor to the flush toilet system, which is widely used nowadays, was designed in 1596 by John Harrington, such systems did not come into widespread use until the late 19th century. With the onset of the Industrial Revolution and related advances in technology, the flush toilet began to emerge into its modern form. A crucial advance in plumbing was the S-trap, invented by the Scottish mechanic Alexander Cummings in 1775, and still in use today. This device uses standing water to seal the outlet of the bowl, preventing the escape of foul air from the sewer. It was only in the mid-19th century, with growing levels of urbanization and industrial prosperity, that the flush toilet became a widely used and marketed invention. This period coincided with the dramatic growth in the sewage system, especially in London, which made the flush toilet particularly attractive for health and sanitation reasons. Flush toilets were also known as water closets, as opposed to the earth closets described above. Dubseys first appeared in Britain in the 1880s, and soon spread to continental Europe. In America, the chain pull indoor toilet was introduced in the homes of the wealthy and hotels in the 1890s. William Elvis Sloan invented the flushometer in 1906, which used pressurized water directly from the supply line for faster recycle time between flushes. High-tech toilets, which can be found in countries like Japan, include features such as automatic flushing mechanisms, water jets or bottom washers, blow dryers, or artificial flush sounds to mask noises. Others include medical monitoring features such as urine and stool analysis and the checking of blood pressure, temperature, and blood sugar. Some toilets have automatic lid operation, heated seats, deodorizing fans, or automated replacement of paper toilet seat covers. Interactive urinals have been developed in several countries, allowing users to play video games. The toilet, produced by Sega, uses pressure sensors to detect the flow of urine and translates that into on-screen action. Astronauts on the International Space Station use a space toilet with urine diversion which can recover potable water. Toilet was originally a French loanword, first attested in 1540, that referred to the toilette, little cloth, draped over one's shoulders during hairdressing. During the late 17th century, The term came to be used by metonymy in both languages for the whole complex of grooming and body care that centered at a dressing table, also covered by a cloth, and for the equipment composing a toilet service, including a mirror, hair brushes, and containers for powder and makeup. The time spent at such a table also came to be known as one's toilet. It came to be a period during which close friends or tradesmen were received as toilet calls. The use of toilet to describe a special room for grooming came much later, first attested in 1819, following the French cabinet de toilette. Similar to powder room, toilet then came to be used as a euphemism for rooms dedicated to urination and defecation, particularly in the context of signs for public toilets, as on trains. Finally, it came to be used for the plumbing fixtures in such rooms, apparently first in the United States, as these replaced chamber pots, outhouses and latrines. These two uses, the fixture and the room, completely supplanted the other senses of the word during the 20th century except in the form toiletries. The word toilet was by etymology a euphemism but is no longer understood as such. As old euphemisms have become the standard term, they have been progressively replaced by newer ones, an example of the euphemism treadmill at work. The choice of word relies not only on regional variation but also on social situation and level of formality, register, or social class. American manufacturers show an uneasiness with the word and its class attributes. American Standard, the largest firm, sells them as toilets, yet the higher-priced products of the Kohler Company, often installed in more expensive housing, are sold as commodes or closets, words which also carry other meanings. Confusingly, products imported from Japan such as Toto are referred to as toilets, even though they carry the cachet of higher cost and quality. Toto, an abbreviation of Toyo Toki, Oriental Ceramics, is used in Japanese comics to visually indicate toilets or other things that look like toilets. Different dialects use bathroom and restroom, American English, bathroom and washroom, Canadian English, and gubsy, an initialism for water closet, lavatory and its abbreviation lav, British English. Euphemisms for the toilet that bear no direct reference to the activities of urination and defecation are ubiquitous in modern Western languages, reflecting a general attitude of unspeakability about such bodily function. These euphemistic practices appear to have become pronounced following the emergence of European colonial practices, which frequently denigrated colonial subjects in Africa, Asia, and South America as unclean. Crapper was already in use as a coarse name for a toilet, but it gained currency from the work of Thomas Crapper, who popularized flush toilets in England. The Jacks is Irish slang for toilet. It perhaps derives from Jacques and Jakes, an old English term. Loo, the etymology of loo is obscure. The Oxford English Dictionary notes the 1922 appearance of how much cost. Waterloo? Water closet. In James Joyce's novel Ulysses and defers to Alan S. C. Ross's arguments that it derived in some fashion from the site of Napoleon's 1815 defeat. In the 1950s the use of the word loo was considered one of the markers of British upper class speech, featuring in a famous essay, You and Non-You English. Loo may have derived from a corruption of French low, water, gar a low, whence Scots gardy loo. Mind the water, used about emptying chamber pots into the street from an upper story window, loo, place, loo d'aisance, place of ease, used euphemistically for a toilet, or loo à l'anglaise, English place, used from around 1770 to refer to English-style toilets installed for travelers. Other proposed etymologies include a supposed tendency to place toilets in room 100, hence loo, in English hotels, a dialectical corruption of the nautical term lee about the need to urinate and defecate with the wind before the advent of head pumps, or the 17th century preacher Louis Bourdaloue, whose long sermons at Paris's Saint Paul Saint Louis prompted his parishioners to bring along chamber pots.